I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
When Biden ran, he pledged he was going to pick a female vice president in 2020. What qualities are you looking for in your vice presidential pick?
Well, always the first quality has to be somebody that you think will be a good president, because if something should happen, you have to have somebody that's going to be a great president. A lot of people are talking about that gentleman right over there. And he's been so great. He's been such a great advocate. I have to say, this is in a very positive way, Tim Scott. He has been much better for me than he was for himself. I watched his campaign, and he doesn't like talking about himself, but boy, does he talk about Trump. And I said, I called him. I said, Tim, you're better for me than you were for yourself. But he's fantastic, and he's a fantastic person.
Those words from former President Trump last night at a South Carolina town hall meeting hosted by Fox News and Laura Ingraham. Again, this taking place in Greenville, South Carolina. So obviously, when he points to the South Carolina Senator Tim Scott sitting up near the front row, immediately there's a lot of applause and support. And he said this before. Trump has suggested before that Scott could be a very good vice president. He just needs to show more charm and excitement for himself. But right now he's fighting for me, which is what I want. We're going to break down more of that, because when it was taking place last night, there's something still in play. That would be someone named Nikki Haley. The South Carolina primary comes up this Saturday, which she's already said, I don't care. That's coming up. Stand by for it. Glad to have you on board with us again. This is Feb 21, 2024. And, of course, reminding you, when we're on the air with you from 6 to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday, we're also streaming video for you. You can go to News Talk STL Facebook, Twitter, Rumble, Larry Connors USA Facebook, Twitter, or Rumble, and see the video. And if you miss anything, remember, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up anything you want, audio or video. Or Larry Connors USA Facebook. And if you want to write comments, there are positions, places where you can, or you can send me email direct at, guess what, LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. We make it very simple. Not hard to find me at all. So here we are last night with Donald Trump campaigning in South Carolina in this town hall meeting. Nikki Haley, of course, that is her home state. She served as governor before later Trump put her on for us as our U.S. ambassador to the U.N. So we had faith in her then to that extent. But since they have gone different directions, Nikki Haley, while Trump was making his claims that I've got to have some very good people behind me, someone who could step up in case something goes wrong. And he was already looking ahead to the primary coming up Saturday, which is crucial to Nikki Haley. She's already acknowledging what the polls are showing, and she's already trying to get her crowd. Look beyond Saturday in South Carolina.
I refuse to quit. South Carolina will vote on Saturday, but on Sunday, I'll still be running for president. I'm not going anywhere.
Recent polling out today, Fox News reported the support of likely voters in South Carolina is going to be over 60%+ of likely voters. Now, mind you, Nikki Haley has been looking to recruit Democrats into the primary process to vote for her. And she had a little bit of success with that in New Hampshire. I don't imagine she'll have much success with that in South Carolina. And certainly after South Carolina and she loses there, we got Donald Trump at over 60% in Michigan, 52% in California, and we're talking Super Tuesday numbers here. There is nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there are some who are willing to support her, still her donors. Democrats are putting money in, etc., but there's no way to go. At this point, she's attempting to be a spoiler. She cannot spoil it. Donald Trump is the nominee in my eyes. The polling says it. We've had multiple elections to confirm it. She needs to move aside.
I don't think she's going to move aside. She may be pushed aside, much like a snowplow going through a snowbank on the highway. But those were the words of Gino Caldwell, who is a Fox News analyst looking at surveys and polls, and he's dead on. She is 30 points behind Trump in South Carolina. The other point he raised, she's been actively courting and trying to get Democrats that don't like Biden, and they certainly don't like Trump, go with me. And a lot of Democrat money has been dumped into her campaign coffers, even from some of these Democrats who are big on Biden and Democrat leftist policies. They've dumped a lot of money in, but will it make a difference in the end? Well, Laura Ingraham was also raising the question with Trump, where do you stand on who you would take for a vice president?
The audience has been asked who they think would be a good choice, and various names came up. One of them was, of course, Vivek Ramaswamy. Yep. He's made a big splash. Ron DeSantis, who's making an appearance today in South Carolina, we just found out. Obviously, Tim Scott, Byron Donalds, and a big presence here for Tulsi Gabbard. Very interesting. And Kristi Noem as well, I should say. Right. Are they all on your short list? And when can we expect that you will announce your choice?
The one thing that always surprises me is that the VP choice has absolutely no impact. It's whoever the president is.
Whoever the president is, what he's talking about, it has no impact. There was a time the vice president choice did have a lot more impact, because often you would see, well, it explains Kennedy going after Johnson when they were running. Kennedy held the North, the elite, the Democrat highbrow, silk stocking. Johnson held Texas and all the southern states in cowboy boots and cowboy hats. So how to bring them together? That was how they were able to win the election. So there was a time that, yes, a presidential decision on who was going to be the VP was extremely important. Now, one name that was not raised as they were going through that list then was Arizona and Kerry Lake. It was not raised, but you heard some of the response reference Tulsi Gabbard. Now, Tulsi Gabbard has been a Democrat, has served as a Democrat, but she also at this point has to look at the fact that the Democrat path is not for her, because it's against everything she's for. She's a strong patriot, and the Democrats are walking away. The other point that Ingraham is trying to make here, whoever you select, you already served one term. You can come in, and even after you've been out for a period of time, you can come back, but you can still serve only one term. Ever since FDR, no president is allowed to have more than two terms, either consecutively or broken up. It's still a total of 8 years maximum. So that's why the vice presidential selection is so critical. So let's go to that issue.
So you can only serve for one term, although they say you'll never leave office. I assume never leave. There'll never be another
they say,
election
don't
again.
Don't do it. He'll never leave. He's never going. Oh, these people. They are crazy.
So for that reason, it is important who you pick.
So I think it's very important. But look, first is that, as we said, it has to do with whoever is, it's a very important position for that reason. You would like to get somebody that could help you from the voter standpoint. And honestly, all of those people are good. They're all good. They're all solid. And I always say, I want people people with common sense, because there's so many things happening in this country that don't make sense. Who wants an open border? Who wants high interest rates? Who wants all electric vehicles? And they're fine, but you want to have choice. You want to go to combustion. You want to go to any hybrid. I think the hybrid are much better from that standpoint. But we were talking about faucets. We're talking about machines. We're talking about so much. It's all based on common sense. We want a strong military. We want choice in education. We want to have things that can really make our country great again.
That's what we want. Common sense, make our country great again. And, of course, when he pointed to Tim Scott, Republican South Carolina, they got a lot of support from the Greenville, South Carolina town hall meeting. Vivek Ramaswamy, as you heard, was brought up. He likes him. He does like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Whether or not they can put their egos aside, or if DeSantis wants to stay in a primary spot for Florida and make another run at another time. Trump also confirmed Congressman Byron Donalds, Republican of Florida. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, of course, was brought up and accepted as a good possible candidate. And you heard former Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, Democrat, now on the Republican side. Kerry Lake's name was not brought up, but I think that's still a name to keep in play. But something else to keep in play is a name by the name of Letitia James, the Attorney General for New York. And, of course, the judge's ruling the other day, fining Trump $355 to $400 million. And Letitia James, already saying, if he doesn't come up with the money, I'm ready to seize his assets.
4 days after a judge ordered Donald Trump to pay $355 million for a decade of fraud, New York Attorney General Letitia James says she's prepared to do everything she can to make sure the former president pays his fine, including, she told us, seizing the buildings that bear his name.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek judgment enforcement mechanisms in court, and we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
Trump was held liable for exaggerating his wealth and inflating the value of his real estate so banks would give him low-interest loans. Trump insisted the banks liked doing business with him.
They said no victim, no one got harmed, the banks got paid back. So no harm, no foul. Why is that not the case in your view?
So financial frauds are not victimless crimes. He engaged in this massive amount of fraud, and it wasn't just a simple mistake, a slight oversight. The variations were wildly exaggerated, and the extent of the fraud was staggering.
But staggering or not, why the hell would the banks give him money if they didn't have a way to get the money back? Well, we'll go into that in more detail. In fact, I'm going to spend more time on that in the second hour for you, so you don't want to miss it. Well, the leftist media also is crowing over charges filed against someone the GOP investigators have been shoring up, relying on maybe to go after President Joe Biden and show corruption, maybe treason. But then this happened.
More now on our breaking news tonight, as the former FBI informant who is charged with lying about the Biden family's dealings in Ukraine now says it was Russian intelligence officials who gave him those fake stories. Much of this information from this informant and quite possibly still is at the center of the GOP's impeachment efforts into President Biden, and has been amplified relentlessly by right-wing media, essentially doing Putin's work for him.
So they're suggesting that Trump and the right-wing media are all doing Putin's work for him. And, of course, they're going to cite some cases. And I'm going to let you hear the cases they're citing. But then we're going to ask them to look in the mirror. First, their cases.
There are now real and growing concerns that your president, the president of our country, is compromised. How real of a Joe Biden bribery scandal allegation is this?
Well, every day this bribery scandal becomes more credible.
We already know the president took bribes from Burisma.
This is about the big guy himself, Joe Biden, a corrupt career politician who is now very credibly accused of public corruption on a scale this country has never seen before.
The most corroborating evidence we have is that 1023 form from this highly credible confidential human source, according to U.S. Attorney Scott Brady.
And, of course, that human source, the FBI informant, now is facing charges of lying to the FBI and the Justice Department. So they're trying to say, see, that never existed. He made all of that up. Well, we don't know that applies to every case. It might apply to this. We don't know. But you don't need facts if you're on the left. You just run with the story. I smell smoke. I'm looking for the fire. You may find a fire. You may just find somebody lit a cigarette. But in this case, the left is going to make clear to you, if you're watching and listening to them, and I know many of you don't, I do the dirty work for you. I go do it. I put myself through this torture repeatedly to make sure that you do hear what they're saying, because here's the way they see the story.
Most media and organizations were skeptical of these claims, given what they are, that the former vice president took a $5 million bribe along with his son. And so they treated them with skepticism. Fox News, on the other hand, aired this propaganda, you know, left and right. If you were watching Fox News, you were being inundated with these claims. And if you talk to Republicans and they say, you know, Biden is head of this Biden crime family, this crime syndicate, and you wonder why that is. It's because they're being inundated by people like Sean Hannity, who repeated these claims in almost 100 segments just last year with this information. And so if you want to understand why so much of the Republican Party supported, for instance, impeaching the former president last year, it was, I think it was like 78% of Republicans supported that, you have to understand where they're getting their information, and it's coming from people like Hannity who are lying. And now, of course, now that this is falling apart in public, they're really nowhere to be found. They're either ignoring this, or you see people even stoking further conspiracies, saying that basically anyone who speaks out against Biden gets arrested, and that's what happened in this case.
So they're not coming out and reporting on the fact that this filing says he's basically been making it all up and getting it from Russian intelligence
officers. The night this broke, it was not mentioned by people like Hannity, who have relentlessly amplified this claim, and now they're sort of acknowledging it, but acknowledging it in a way that, again, stokes further conspiracy theories.
Ah, see how they build their case? Let's quickly debunk some of what they're saying. That was a CNN media reporter, Oliver Darcy, supposedly telling you exactly how the right-wing media is manipulating you. May I point you back to a story from numerous sources, National Review, Wall Street Journal, and others. CIA told Obama of claim Hillary Clinton conjured Trump-Russia scandal. That's according to CIA spy chief John Brennan. Another one says former CIA Director John Brennan briefed President Obama as Hillary Clinton's plan to tie the Trump campaign to Russia as a means of distracting the public from her private email server scandal before the 2016 election. Where were those stories in those leftist media outlets reporting those stories? They were nowhere to be found, and they weren't. And then when it came to the Hunter Biden issue, totally ignoring, denying the Hunter Biden laptop even existed, denying what I just told you about the CIA director informing Obama Hillary's political tricks were behind the Russian collusion story. Well, we're going to spend more time on that issue in the next hour. And before this hour is out, parents of a 15-year-old are going to the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, because the state of Indiana took their son because he claimed he was being abused because mom and dad wouldn't call him and let him be a girl, which is what he wanted. The state of Indiana said, you are mistreating your child. That's abuse. We'll get into that story. But up next, Dr. Rick Lehman on transgenders in sports and a review of the latest study on COVID vaccine and how they damage heart and other organs. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance, they can be a major health issue. Especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. There's a story I had not had time to get to because of so many things going on, the least of which obviously would be the massacre and carried out by Hamas back in October. But there have been other items coming to the top as well. So let me go back a couple of months ago, earlier this month, I should say. A girls' basketball game between two Massachusetts schools, and one of them had a biological male who identified as a female on the court, knocked one of the kids down on the other team, knocking some of her teeth loose or out, and at that point, that team was already decimated by some other injuries and now having to continue to battle against this, and the other girls on the team were concerned that maybe we're going to get hurt, maybe we should not play anymore, and the coach forfeited the game because I didn't want to endanger my girls, he said. Joining us now, Dr. Rick Lehman with U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, an expert on Olympic injuries. He's been an Olympic coach and trainer for years. People like Jackie Joyner-Kersee, for instance, pro athletes, baseball, football, hockey. Dr. Lehman, glad to have you with us again, sir.
Thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
And I also want to point out to the audience, you are also my personal doctor, so full transparency. Now, based on the story I was just relating as to what happened in that basketball game, a transgender boy basically had a mustache still playing as a girl on the girl's team and hits a girl so hard, basically knocks her teeth out. Your reaction, first of all.
Well, you know, I think this is a lot more of a problem in this one basketball game. We saw it in volleyball where a male transgender spiked the ball and broke a girl's orbit. And we've seen significant injuries in wrestling where transgender females who are really males are wrestling real females. And you know, I know that the right thing in on the left side is to see be inclusive and have transgenders participate in the sport in the sex that they believe that they are in. But this is just inequality at every level. And I got to tell you, in basketball and wrestling and volleyball, people are going to get hurt. You can't possibly expect a guy, you know, swimming, it's unfair, but no one's going to get hurt. But in contact sports and basketball, for sure, the contact sport, when you have somebody who's got maybe a foot taller, significant muscle mass, this person has facial hair and is playing as a woman, and they're in the paint, they're doing a rebound, someone falls on the ball, and they fall on the ball and fall on the athlete, someone's going to get hurt, and that's exactly what happened here. And this is just going to continue until this ridiculous rule doesn't get changed.
And we've seen what you're describing in NBA games where pros are out there and they're getting hurt and they're men up against other men.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a violent sport, no matter what anybody tells you. So, again, it's just men against boys, and you just can't compete in a physical sport, just like you couldn't compete in track and field or you couldn't compete in weightlifting. You know, the muscle mass, the differential in strength just is going to create injury, and we're going to see this over and over until this gets resolved.
And then you have the other girls on the team that were suited up to play. Some had already been, they weren't suited up because they'd suffered other injuries prior games or whatever. But the other five that were going to be left to play, basically, the bench was that depleted, complained the coach or fearing, telling the coach, we're afraid we're going to get hurt out there. The coach, I think, made the right decision.
No question. No question forfeiting the game. First of all, should you even take the court in the first place if you know someone's going to play a transgender male? And you know, if we take it one step further, Larry, why wouldn't I, if I was a coach and I could get males to play basketball, why wouldn't I get all the guys from the males team that didn't make the team and have five transgender males playing?
I mean, why not?
There's no rule against that.
Of course not. And then you, of course, you're going to be accused of you're being homophobic or something of that nature. You do understand that, Doctor. You're laughing.
No question. And, well, no, because you know, the left is going to say, hey, we need to be inclusive and we need to. And I'm not, this has nothing to do with politics. This has to do, I'm a doctor. I'm going to treat injuries, and I know that there's a disadvantage and someone's at risk. And this coach did the right thing, pulling the kids off the court because, you know, someone was going to get hurt. Someone got hurt, and more kids are going to get hurt. And again, you know, if everybody's hanging around in the paint for a rebound and I stick my elbow in some girl's face, And I have 60 pounds on them, and, you know, I'm going to hurt somebody. And who knows, I don't want to say this kid did it on purpose, but, you know, certainly that could be a factor. But again, I just think for long-term resolution, we have to come to some sanity.
Well, how does the winning team feel, I wonder? The boys, actually, I should say the girls on the team and the coach, how do they feel about winning that way? By a forfeiture because you hurt another player, and you're playing someone 6 feet tall with facial hair against her.
Well, you know, I got to think. So when you talk to teammates of Leah Thomas, who she was a swimmer at Penn,
right,
all the other girls, you know, really felt that it was unfair. Her own teammates thought it was unfair at Penn. You know, they were obviously freaked out about changing in front of this person because this was a guy and they were girls in the locker room all taking a shower together. And they didn't feel it was right that this Leah Thomas should be able to compete, and they felt terrible for the other girls, the other Ivy League teams, etc. So I got to think that the other girls on the team, if they have any heart at all, any empathy, are going to say, you know what, this is an unfair advantage.
I'm telling you what I would do. If my girl were on the team with the transgender, I'd pull her from the team or tell the coach, you do not play that team. You know, or I mean, if my girl is on the team that had the transgender, that person does not play or I'm taking my girl out, and I'd encourage every other parent, we just abandon that basketball program. Let them have no program if that's what they want.
And you know what? If all teams got together and say, we're not going to play against transgenders, you know, this problem would be ultimately solved because the team would have no schedule, and I think that's the right thing. But I have said this for a long time. If someone is going to get seriously hurt in one of these events where you've got men competing against women, and again, the reason you have the WNBA and the NBA and everybody isn't all mixed up in pro golf and pro tennis and all these sports, you have a women's division, men's division, is exactly this reason.
Now, I want to turn your attention to something else. I don't know how much time you've had to spend on it, but I'm sure you're aware that they had a new study of COVID-19 vaccines looking at nearly 100 million vaccinated individuals, various countries, not including the U.S., and finding various reactions either to the vaccine and or COVID that's not clear, but raising serious questions, especially when it comes to various organs such as the heart.
So it's an interesting study, 100,000 people, 8 countries, and they looked at all of the primarily side effects from the vaccine, and they found myocarditis.
May I correct you, doctor, with all due respect, 100 million.
Yes, 100 million, eight countries, and they looked at all kinds of, side effects, and I think they were primarily from the vaccine, and the big ones were cardiovascular, myocarditis, Guillain-Barré, which is a neurotoxin problem in the brain, and different pulmonary issues, and then, of course, long haulers. And there's no question that there's a significant risk, and we've talked about this before, in getting a COVID vaccine. The problem is you're not really going to know what that risk is until you've done studies like this, and we gave everybody the vaccine long before these studies could ever be done, so we didn't really know what the real risk was.
Sure.
And now we're kind of backtracking to find out, hey, you know, when we're seeing myocarditis, we're seeing some of these issues, what is the incidence? And the incidence is not insignificant. Now, I had a personal friend who's a cardiologist die 1 week after getting a COVID vaccination. And he died, I'm sure, from the COVID vaccination of a heart attack.
Really?
So, again, absolutely. And I probably had 8 or 10 patients, and I'm talking about healthy young athletes who had myocarditis and were in the hospital and couldn't compete afterwards with heart disease after getting vaccinated. They did not have COVID. So, again, you see this in clinical practice.
Well, how's this going with we have various stars and even pro players showing they got a vax, showing their Band-Aid, you know, on behalf of Pfizer or BioNTech or who it would be for various sporting events and so forth. I mean, the message is go ahead and get the vax. Everything's going to be okay.
Well, you know, it is or it isn't. And, you know, you got Kyrie Irving and Aaron Rodgers and a lot of people. Novak Djokovic, who said, hey, I'm not going to get vaccinated. And then you have a lot of people who said, look, I went and got vaccinated and I'm okay. And you know what? The answer is just that. If you have 100 people, maybe 85 of them are going to be okay. Maybe 90 of them are going to be okay. But 10 of them aren't going to be okay. And if you have 100 people who get COVID that are 25, 35, 45 years old, probably no one in that group is going to have a problem. Very rare. So, again, you have to weigh the yin and the yang here and see, is it worth taking the risk of the vaccine? I think initially people should have been vaccinated because we didn't really know, A, how bad COVID was and what the risks of the vaccine are. But as we're seeing more and more evidence that the vaccine has risks, then you have to weigh your options. And, again, I'm not 100% sold that that's okay.
I'm looking at, again, a study by the Global COVID Vaccine Study. And you mentioned the states, nations, Argentina, Australia, Canada, Denmark, Finland, France, New Zealand, Scotland. Why would they not include the USA? Is there a reason? Because Pfizer, Moderna are so public relations oriented here?
I'm sure that there was some conflict either with the FDA or some conflict with Big Pharma, and they just decided, you know, we don't want to participate in the study. And you know what? Does Pfizer really want, or any of these, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, do they really want a study to come out and say that there's a higher incidence of complications or side effects from the vaccine, you know, at a late stage? Because, again, it was presented to everybody as two things. One, it would stop you from getting COVID,
right,
if it doesn't. And number two, presented as safe. So, you know, now all of a sudden everybody's coming back and saying, well, maybe it's not so safe. And is there liability on the part of these companies for coming out and telling you to get vaccinated?
And we've lost so much credibility within the health community as far as the public anyway. Dr. Lehman,
no doubt.
Thank you very much for your time as always, sir. We appreciate it.
Larry, thank you.
You bet. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, right there in Kirkwood, by the way. It might be near you. Coming up, Kevin O'Leary as to why EV cars will not work.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
Even China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Legal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Must be the whiskey. I've been drinking to remember and drinking to forget. I got I love you on my mind. I got Jim Beam on my breath and loneliness has got the rest. I've got nothing left within me. Must be the whiskey.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Some of these cars are getting into older age past 7 years, and people are starting to see the drop-off in their ability, their capacity to store electricity, so the overall mileage goes down. The real problem with the EV mandate was that it was just that. It was government trying to mandate a conversion. It was the same problem that came up in the recent climate change, the Global Climate Change Conference, when finally most countries admitted, look, there's no such thing as replacing hydrocarbons. There's diversification away from hydrocarbons, but there's no path to energy security for any country, including the U.S. domestic. And while that conference was on, I was there. The British said, sorry, everybody, we're going to start pumping oil again because of what's going on in Ukraine. And at the same time, last week, you started to see financial companies like J.P. Morgan saying, look, we can't stay with these mandates. They don't make sense. So everybody has to suck it up now and realize this is going to take a lot longer than people thought, including the EV conversion. The basic problem with EVs is that the mid-market, where the majority of cars are sold, is they're too expensive.
There's a key point. They're too expensive. You were listening then to Kevin O'Leary, the president, founder of O'Leary Investments. Puts a lot of money into good investments, maybe some into bad. But he's saying this buy into the EV, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Maybe a hybrid. And yet you're going to continue to find shoved in your face things like this. I'm looking at a piece out of Elective Electra Drive, maybe I think it is called, .com. Europe, EV sales grow 29% in January. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. And then another one from USA Today saying green energy and EV sales growing remarkably. Not according to other sources. Others are saying they're dropping off considerably. And then the point Kevin O'Leary began with, some of these cars that folks bought in the beginning might now be 5-plus years old. Their batteries are not holding the charge as effectively. It's like any battery that has to be replaced after a period of time. Even in a gas combustion car, you're going to have to replace the battery. If you hold it long enough, you're going to need a new battery. And you'll first realize it when you go to turn the key and it won't crank. It won't turn over. It doesn't even have to be a cold day. The battery just gave out. But on a cold day, it's going to be more likely to do so. And yet you're going to continue to see people push it left and right. And it's all part of the climate change industry. Now, we went through this yesterday as to how many major investment groups, and Kevin O'Leary cited them as well. And I did yesterday, including BlackRock, saying we're walking away from all this ESG, environmental social governance, which basically is woke for companies, and getting rid of fossil fuels. That hurts their investors if they want the top dollar. If they're not investing in places where they can make more money, some of the investors turning around suing the investment firm, saying you're not doing your job as a fiduciary to make the best money for me. You're purposely avoiding great opportunities because you have a mindset that says, well, if it involves gas or fossil, we're not going to put money in it. And now they begin to say, we can't go down that road anymore. Good. It does turn around and bite them in the arse. There's something else I also want to go back over. When I was talking to Dr. Lehman, I saw it cross. I didn't want to interrupt the interview with him at that point. But I want to share it with you. This is a piece that has just come out. Phil McGraw, Dr. McGraw, Dr. Phil, as you might know him, former daytime TV powerhouse, on a Joe Rogan Experience, talking about doctors of the so-called gender-affirming care, because that was one part of our discussion with Dr. Rick Lehman a moment ago. Dr. Phil is saying, medical professionals and hospitals pushing transgenders and transgender services on kids, especially in light of the complete lack of information on what the long-term harm could be, are basically not helping the kids. And isn't that the first thing doctors are supposed to do? First, do no harm. There's a case in Indiana we'll talk about in a moment where a couple is having to fight that issue. And I'm sure doctors have been involved and will be involved. But there's still another issue that we were discussing with Rick Lehman. That is these vaccines. When you're told repeatedly, get the vax, get the shot, or you're going to lose your job. And some people lost their job, maybe got kicked out of the military for it. Maybe they got the shot and had no harm whatsoever, even though they were fearful and they've been fine. But then when you hear Rick Lehman say one of his own friends, who's a heart surgeon, got a COVID shot and was dead within 4 to 5 days, and it's his belief, I don't know if he's basing it on an autopsy, didn't get that detailed, but that the COVID shot took a man who was perfectly great health, suddenly was stricken with a heart attack or stroke of some type. The Washington Post just put out this piece that you should keep in mind. First of all, they make note that all the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance and America's frontline doctors, of course, have also been promoting anti-parasitic, anti-malaria drugs and such treatments for COVID, even though that many in the beginning were called, you're a quack for even suggesting that. Why? Well, because the official word from the Centers for Disease Control, vaccines have never been safer than they are today. They say that on their webpage. Vaccines have never been safer than they are today. That might be true in some cases, but not all. Now, granted, when you come out with a vaccine or anything, there might be a percent that ends up suffering from the new vaccine. Maybe a minimal reaction, maybe a major. The Washington Post, though, is pointing out that four major nonprofits rose to prominence during the coronavirus pandemic by capitalizing on the spread of medical misinformation and collectively gained more than $118 million in 4 years, enabling these organizations to deepen influence in state house, courtrooms, and communities. They talk about one, Children's Health Defense. That's an anti-vaccine group founded by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., receiving $23.5 million in contributions and grants in 2022, 8 times what it normally collected, in fact, the year before the pandemic. And then you have Consent Action Network, nearly quadrupling its revenue in 2022 so it could finance lawsuits trying to roll back vaccine requirements. These are groups that are trying to keep you from being ordered and told you must have a vaccine. And then the two other frontline groups, Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance and America's Frontline Doctors, were also getting a lot more than they'd collected before COVID surfaced. That's all according to tax records, not numbers just being made up. But of course, the head of the Division of Medical Ethics at New York University said in his view, those four groups are telling you, you don't have to necessarily have the vaccine and it could be bad for you. He said, these groups just gave fuel to misinformation at a crucial time in the pandemic. The richer they get, the worse off the public, because indisputably, they're spouting dangerous nonsense that kills people. That cuts both ways, judging by what we've seen, doesn't it? And I will guarantee you, you talk about the money those nonprofit groups made while they're fighting against people being ordered to take vaccines. You're not anywhere near the money the pharmaceutical companies have been making because they're pushing the vaccines. All right, I'd mentioned the transgender story that involves, will involve, and has involved doctors. It begins with parents of a teenager, 15, 16, and now they're going to the Supreme Court. Their case is headed to the Supreme Court because the state of Indiana took their son some years ago, claiming that the child was being abused because the parents would not call him and let him be a girl.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
When our son was removed, it was like someone pulled the rug out from underneath us. As a father, I believe one of my main goals is to keep my children safe. And I can't do that when the state comes into our house and takes our kid because we can't, in good conscience, affirm his transgender ideology. His disappearance made a huge hole in our hearts and our family, but we will always love him and pray for him.
That is Jeremy Cox. He and his wife, Mary, had a son being identified only as AC, born male, but in his teen years, 15, 16, decided he wanted to be a girl and claimed that his parents would not support him in it. And he wanted to be, his new pronoun would be she, her, not him, he. And the parents would not go along with it. They're Catholic parents. They were not going to do that. You're just confused right now. We'll get you through this. You don't want to do that. Well, apparently he got in touch with some who were going to help him, you know, go after his parents. And in fact, what they ended up doing, once he reached out beyond the parents and started talking to a lawyer or somebody who would quickly jump on the case for him, then they went to the state, and soon the state of Indiana ended up reaching into the home and taking the child away from the parents and putting the child in an orphanage or a home for orphans, or maybe one home in particular. They didn't give a lot of details on the background of that, but they wanted him away from the parents because they considered the parents were abusing their child. Listen to the mother.
Our child was out of our home for 17, 18 months altogether, ultimately aging out of the foster care system. We were able to visit with him at his discretion, basically for about 2 to 3 hours each week. Though we pushed constantly for additional engagement, attended family therapies, we were never able to have an agreement for additional time with him. So as a mom, having limited access to your children is, it's heart-wrenching. I miss his laugh. I miss being with him.
The music you're hearing, we did not put on. It was part of the piece. I think it's part of a presentation by the family's attorney, and I'll get to them in a moment. But just take a second and think of yourself in that position. Your child, maybe they're not even 14 or 15 or 16. Maybe they're 8, 9, or 10, and they start making the same claim. And they find someone who will listen to them. And you have a state that decides, you know what, we know what's best for your child. We're going to take that child and take them away and put them with a family that will be more gender-affirming. Maybe the child does need some counseling, maybe. Maybe just get away from the crowd they've been running with. It may be all by trend. But the bottom line is, when you take him out of that family that truly loves him and puts him somewhere, him or her, or somewhere else, would that not have some kind of effect on their psyche? I'd say yes. So again, the family, the mom and dad, said, were told, if you want to have more contact with your child, if you want more contact, then you got to go to special counseling sessions. Not the child, the parents. And they supposedly were going to be counseled on how to help him turn things around. Mom says that wasn't at all what was happening.
In our experience, this is not an isolated incident. There are a number of families here in Indiana experiencing the same issues that we've gone through. The mental health support services that we experienced were very much following an agenda towards affirmation only, which for our family was not going to resolve our child's issues. We are speaking out about this case now because parental rights need to be protected in Indiana. Our family should have never had to go through this. We don't want any other family in Indiana to go through it either.
Or any other family in any other state. And various states have such laws in effect or are working on them. You better be aware of them. And as you heard Mom say, it was not to help our child, it was for us to do more to affirm him becoming a girl. Last week, the case represented by the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty filed in the U.S. Supreme Court, saying this presents a legal question of national importance. And one of the attorneys says, if it can happen in Indiana, it can happen anywhere. Tearing a child away from loving parents because of their religious beliefs, which are shared by millions of Americans, is an outrage to the law, parental rights, and basic human decency. I fully agree. Now, the Supreme Court may end up just tossing the case, saying child's over 21 now, it's a moot issue. But it needs to be argued because there are other cases that are building up. You don't want to miss our second hour as they try to tear down Trump, take his assets, and remember our pledge, one nation under God.